Good morning, residents. Welcome back. I would have asked Robert to come in, but I didn't know when I'd get back right away because the board's been meeting all morning about the implementation of these gathering rules. And hopefully we try to come up with a situation that benefits the health and safety of everyone first. Okay, the board was conflicted yesterday. There was different discussions and different questions going back and forth about the implementation of this latest State of California order. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute and go forward, but a couple of other tiny things since they came up. One was about Frontier. Frontier has been delayed, as we all know. I don't know even as of this moment when the ordering process will begin. And I did make a comment quickly yesterday that I think was misinterpreted. And my comment, I described it poorly about the service dealing with Frontier. I was cutting to the chase because of comments made in the town hall meetings. So let me describe that and explain it, because I didn't want to give the wrong impression, but I did. My comment about service was related to the fact that in the town hall meetings, every person that liked Frontier, there was a person that did not like Frontier. And for every person that liked Spectrum, there was a person that did not like Spectrum. That was clear. It was clear by town hall meetings and clear in survey. It was just split half and half. So all such comments were based on opinions that both companies had customer service issues and that whichever company we decided on, it would happen, knowing the customer service was not going to improve. Now, that's where my comment was about. So in the town hall meetings and on surveys, we didn't want to spend time in town hall meetings listening to half the people say, I don't like Frontier, and half the people go, I don't like Spectrum. So we put a stop to that to say, no matter what, no matter which company we pick, we understand that the customer service itself for either company will not change and it won't improve. We shouldn't expect it to. So I stand by the statement that said, whichever company we're going with, we're doing it to save money, knowing that the existing customer service will not improve. And even I told everybody, you should look at it like it's going to be poor. And then that would help you make a decision as far as how to go forward. Now, technically, if Frontier begins the installation process by November 1, they've done exactly what they said they would do. So we're going to have to just wait. What they've been delayed is taking orders. But technically, they've done nothing wrong yet, other than they've told us they're going to take orders and they haven't. But if they begin the install process by November 1, they've done exactly what they told us they would do. And if they complete the install by March 1, they've done exactly what their contract requires. So my apologies for giving you the impression that I think Frontier, as far as the internet itself, is not very good. That was a wrong impression on my part. The Frontier internet currently is, in my opinion, I voted for it, I will stand by it, is the fastest internet out there. The 500 to 500, most of us don't need. It's five times faster than Spectrum's for that price. So I will be hopeful that they will start the ordering process soon. Now, I'm going to talk about budget and how that relates, but let me get to the gathering part first, because I'll get to the short part of this new gathering order. The board has rescinded the implementation of that gathering order from yesterday because we do not believe it applies to the homeowners in this HOA. So for us, there was too many discrepancies on what it meant. Example of when we have conflicts is the order said that Californians to gather outside their household. But it goes on to talk about parks and outdoor activities and awnings and structures where three sides are open. It went on to say it has to be in a single location. Well, a lot of these things just was hard for us. Now, I'm going to tell you that the board, the decision here today and how we move forward was unanimous. The five of us, we do the best we can. We sit here, we go through this, we talk to attorneys, we talk to each other, and when we're all over and done, the decision on how we move forward at the moment has been unanimous. One of the real conflicts in this order was, for us, was people walking on the public streets. This order says you have to stay in a single place. Well, then you can't be walking on the street. It would be a violation. So we basically said maybe we can get to this outcome a different way. And that's what we tried to do. Because in the order, too, it was also saying that when you gather outdoors, you have to wear a mask. And so that's kind of a conflict for us based upon if you can stay 6 feet apart, you don't have to wear a mask. Now, I will tell you, we have requested legal counsel to contact the state in order to ask some questions and get more clarifications on exactly how this implementation order, how the order can be implemented. So we are going to hear more about that. Now, what that means is how do we proceed? The HOA is still enforcing no visitors, no guests, and no gatherings on common property. So there's no visitors, no guests, no gatherings on common property. Now, here's hopefully where we get to an outcome that people will understand. And if you have questions, you know, let me know. The HOA is not enforcing that implementation order, the state order, on private property. Everybody understand what I'm saying? There is still a state order for people to stay at home, no visitors, no guests, no gatherings. Okay, we understand that. And the HOA is going to implement that on common property, and that includes streets. What we are not going to do, we are not enforcing that state order on private property. We're going to rely upon the residents to use responsibility, common sense, in considering the safety of your neighbors. We're going to rely upon every resident here to decide what they're going to do as far as that state and county order. We are not going to drive around and look for any violation of that state order on your private property. You have to decide what you want to do as far as the implementation of that order. Now, what we will do is we will investigate other violations, hypothetically, a noise conduct violation. So if somebody were to have 40 people over in a backyard, that's probably going to violate the noise ordinance all by itself. Don't have to worry about the state code. It's going to be too loud. You're not supposed to do that. If somebody were to have a 40-person party in your home, we're not looking for it, but that's a little baby crossing the line. So be aware. I've told some residents that who are planning on having a big Halloween party, that would be unacceptable. But that's very different than somebody else being responsible, using common sense, about how they wish to implement the state order on their own in a responsible way with a reasonable number of people so it doesn't affect neighbors, so it doesn't affect the safety or health of any other resident. That's the priority. The priority is the safety and health of every single resident. And I think if all of you take that into account in your actions, you will act perfectly. And it will all be fine, and we can compromise on how we proceed. If you have questions about what I mean by this directive, please let me know. Now, I also would ask, you know, you might consider getting tested. The more people that get tested will help to bring the numbers down. Riverside numbers for this virus is climbing, and there's discussion about closing things down again. So please, maybe get tested so that there's more good cases, and hopefully that keeps us from being shut down again. numbers for Riverside going in the wrong direction at the moment. Now, what the HOA, what the board is allowed to do is we can carve out exceptions on how we implement on common property certain aspects of the state and county order. I'll give you an example. The county and the state have allowed for the restaurant to open. They've allowed that. What the board carved out was, we don't want guests in the restaurant yet. We're trying to minimize any outside influence upon the health and safety of the residents here. For us, it's one step at a time, very slow steps, and the priority is going to be health and safety. So we also now believe we can carve out an exception for golf. The board felt this was also unanimous, that golf is played outdoors. People are in separate carts. They use separate equipment. They touch the different golf balls separately. It is a much easier sport and activity to maintain social distancing. Consequently, we are opening golf for guests and outside play. This fits the one step at a time to keep residents healthy and safe, and at the same time allowing that activity to open. Now, that activity, given all of its safety precautions, which we think have been put in place, also affects us financially. Golf is a revenue source. So please understand that although somebody will ask, well, why not allow for tennis players or bocce ball players or pickleball players? The board discussed all those and doesn't believe those sports allow for the safety and social distancing that golf does. And none of those sports have income producers relative to the budget. And all this is a factor. So the board did believe when it was all over and done that because we felt that golf could be implemented so safely with visitors, guests, and outside play, it would also benefit every resident here. If it's done well, it's going to benefit you financially, namely reducing your dues. So golf will open. So golf is going to still open Saturday for guests. Outside play will not begin for about a week as soon as the golf staff can arrange how the outside people pay for it, because we don't want them coming into the pro shop. Now, the interesting part on how this relates to the budget, we're going to have our final budget meeting next week, and this takes, you know, quite a bit of time. The Finance Advisory Committee, the Treasurer and staff, they work on this budget, you know, for a couple months, and they go through all these line items detail by detail. The budget at the moment has been produced with the idea that we would have no guests and no outside play all of next year. That is, they planned for the worst case scenario because we didn't know when we would open, and we didn't know when if the state county allowed total access, and we weren't quite sure what the board was going to do. So I want you all to know that we're not going to redo that whole budget. We're not going to spend another month and a half redoing a budget. We're going to leave the budget as planned with no guests and no outside play in the budget, which means it's the worst case scenario. So from a financial point of view, it's very responsible planning. So if we open for guests and outside play, it just means the income will get better than projected. Our net losses will be less. And this will mean that's not going to be any type of negative impact. So as we go forward, there would only be a positive income impact from a financial budget point of view. I commend the FAC for how they did that. I know we had discussions about how to plan for next year, and they took the position, let's just count on no outside play, no guests, and if we get there, it will help us. It will help us. So that's the position. Golf will open. Everything else on common property has stayed closed. I mean, now you can play tennis, but it's residents only. Pickleball, bocce, swimming, all that is resident only, no guest. There's still no guest for shadows. No outside people can come into shadows. The board's going to look at that just one day at a time and watch numbers and make sure people are healthy and safe. We want to make sure that people aren't catching this virus. If you do contract the virus, test positive, please let us know. That's going to help us as far as how we determine going forward. So hopefully this clears it up. For those people, the big impact as far as this gathering order, there is no now technical ability to have three households meet at your home. There is definitely no ability for someone to be walking on the streets with a non-resident. That is not available. So specifically, if you're with your grandchild, you cannot walk on these streets, can't bike on these streets. There's lots of alternatives. There's nothing that says you can't go off-site and walk on the street off-site. There's nothing that says you can't go to parks and meet and then follow this California new gathering order, which we think makes more sense based upon a park location. So you can do all these things. You just can't do it here on common property. But the caveat I wish to make clear, the HOA is not looking for a violation of a state order regarding gathering on your private property. Please be responsible, use common sense, and we will all just progress down this road just fine, and it's real possible you can pretty much get what you want. Just think about it for a little bit. Thank you for your time. Please stay well. If you have any questions, let me know. I'm sure I'll be back to you next week. Take care.